break. Thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
We'll tell the handcuff story after the segment, Troy.
All right, let's do that. How are you anyway?
Good, thank you, Troy. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
It's a drizzly old day. Remember rain? Here it is again.
I love it.
I love it too.
Yeah.
Me too. I like it as well.
Yeah. Now,
thanks, Mikey. That's so nice of you.
I think our office was trying to get hold of you this week, weren't they? Did they get
yes,
hold
you
of
know,
you?
You mean for Record Store Day.
For Record Store Day.
Yeah, no, we're all good to go. That's done.
Oh, great, great.
I love the cover of that one.
Oh,
Troy's
it's
just,
not all.
Troy's just pulled something out of the crate that looks
This is what he does. This is
nice.
The whole thing. You know, there's a method.
Are you starting with that one?
Oh. We'll start with that one.
That's a cool cover, huh?
Here it is. If it isn't Akikoyano's landmark debut album from 1976.
There you go.
Sarah's just sprinted into the studio.
Easy now.
Slow down.
Recorded when Akikoyano was just 21.
Yep. Hence the name of the album.
Wow. I don't know anything about Akikoyano. Does it make me...
Akikoyano, you might have heard of her last year.
Talking about in her dressing gown on the back there.
I think you'll find that's a kimono.
I think it's the fine line between dressing gown and kimono.
I think it's a kimono.
Okay,
sure.
Well, I'm not sure if that's the traditional method of wearing the kimono, dancing around with you.
What?
Look, that's casual. That's casual. It's casual, isn't it? What'd you say? It's not formal. You wouldn't go out to a school ball like that, would
it's
you?
Modern, 1976
what do you mean?
Style.
That is how you wear the kimono, isn't it?
I don't know if you're dancing around like that, all with bedroom eyes and come here. I'll pass it back to you, Troy.
Well,
this has got an American side and a
Japanese side. Yeah.
Oh, now, that's nice.
For her debut, like those of you who have heard of Akikoyano before probably think of her in terms of Ryuichi Sakamoto, who she married later on.
And, okay. I know
but
Ryuichi Sakamoto.
She worked with Yellow Magic Orchestra quite a bit. Last year, We Want Sounds put out Tadaima. A 1981 record. Sarah knows it.
Imagine the record collection at that house.
Yeah.
Very
excited.
Now, this one here, why is there an American side? For a debut album, she decided, well, I'm going to record with an American group that I quite like. Now, here's an American group that Ms. Yano liked, but I've always been hesitant about. I've always thought they're a bit beardy and raggedy.
I don't necessarily think your choice would have been factored into
no,
it.
Unfortunately, it wasn't. I would remember if it was. So the band she decided to use, she went to Los Angeles and recorded with Little Feat for side one of this record.
Interesting.
Side two, she was with Haruama Hosono and I think some other Yellow Magic guys on side two. But anyway, so I was tentative even about listening to side one. Little Feat, beardy. Bit raggedy, bit hippie-ish.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
But I don't know. I have no idea.
But you're the expert.
Well,
no,
then,
I'm not.
Well, then what have we got to play? What are we playing off it today, Troy? This is obviously a re-release, obviously.
Well, this is the first time this has come out since 1976 in Japan.
Wow. See?
Yeah. So We Want Sounds have done an amazing, beautiful deluxe package with a hobby strip. They've reproduced the artwork to the nth level.
Beautiful artwork. Beautiful artwork.
Yeah, beautiful
Anyway,
artwork.
The song we're going to play is one featuring Little Feat, but this is the one that really interests me because there's the same song on both sides, and this one here is part two of it. What is it called?
Funamashi?
Yep.
Funamashi Uta.
Yeah, so Funamashi song, and this is with Little Feat.
Part two.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's part two because it's the American side and part one's on the Japanese side.
Yeah. So the more traditional Japanese sounding one is at the end of side two. And this is the end of side one, the with Little Feat.
Very evocative, isn't it?
I like it.
Yeah, I like it too.
She sounds like she's got a voice that has hundreds of songs at the ready, you know?
And this was the beginning.
She's very very talented.
Oh, yeah, she is. She plays keyboards on everything here and sings. You said she had hundreds of songs at the ready. She's done 29 albums since this one. She's still making records
29
now.
Albums?
Yeah.
She's, wow.
Once Upon a Time, Lazy Shorthand would have said, she's like the Japanese Kate Bush. Actually, Kate Bush was more like the English Akiko Yano, I think. You like it so far?
I like. I can hear the cantering around the room sort of vibe. Now you mentioned Kate Bush. I like the production. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love songs where it sounds like there's nobody in the room, and then suddenly it sounds like maybe there might be 80 people in the room. Maybe, and everyone's just waiting patiently for their bit, you know? And this guy who's going, woo! Oh, yeah. About what year did the guitars start to be able to make that noise?
That's a really good question.
Because that's a really cool noise, eh? Thinking, you've seen that documentary Man on a Wire about the guy that walked between the World Trade Centers on a you know, balance.
Yes.
For some reason, I'm imagining that this would be a good soundtrack for that. If I was going to tightrope between the two buildings, maybe.
Hopefully, you're not.
No, I'm not going to. I'm scared of heights. So.
And that sneeze you just heard in there wasn't actually in the tune, but.
Tried to run out of the studio.
Mixed it in. It's really blossoming into quite a song, isn't it?
Yeah.
And now it's finished.
There you go.
There you go. Well, no, it hasn't finished. There's a guitar. Isn't that guitar just creeping around there? She's just no lyrics.
On this one, no. The rest of the lyrics on the record are in Japanese.
Oh, hello, bass. There's a guitar. Listen to the guitar. See? Right, that's a cool track. And the rest of it's like that as well? Like, sort of, I mean, I guess it's obviously got some American and Japanese side, but I mean, sort of.
This is, being the midpoint of the album, this is like a good representation of a mix of both. So separate those out in your mind, and you've got side one and side two.
Good, lovely, lovely. What's next, Roy?
Well, next is the latest in a series which we often feature on From the Crate, the Late Night Tales series.
Ah!
Now, as we know, Late Night Tales is like a mixtape made by somebody for nighttime. There's only two rules. One rule, you've got to do a cover yourself, and you've got to get somebody to tell a story. They're the only rules in the thing. The latest one is by Floating Points, Dr. Sam Shepard, and this is the most late night of Late Night Tales I've heard so far.
Floating Points, personal collection of global soul, ambient, jazz, and folk treasures. Goodness me.
Now, remember we did
Do
you remember we did that Floating Points album? I think it was last year or the year before, where he like recorded in canyons. Would put.
Oh, yeah.
Remember? Yeah.
And canyons?
That guy.
And the spare canyons?
Now, what is.
We have a couple of canyons. We could.
Do we? No, we have gorges, I think.
I think you can lure the line to a canyon gorge.
Maybe you can.
So this is. I'm going to kind of call it highbrow.
Okay, go.
Is it highbrow?
Yep.
I mean, you got some big hitters, some big names. This one's for people who are ready to get into it.
Yeah.
Are ready to spend the night not going to bed, spend the night getting deep into somebody else's carefully corralled musical choices.
That'd be right.
True.
Yeah.
Would that be right?
That would be right. I've just realised that there's somebody on here that... Well, I used to do a radio show, and there's someone on here that came on with me one day. Toshimaru Nakamura.
Oh, if it isn't old, taking my... What?
Okay, so who you have on here? The story is read by Lauren Laverne, who people probably know now as being from BBC Radio 6, but older people would remember her as the singer of the group Kaneki in the 90s. Who else is here? Caitlin Aurelia Smith... Carlos Walker. That's a nice one, that one there. Oh, Abu Talib, Bobby Wright's Blood of an American. Whoa, that's a cracker. But the one we chose is from 1970. Now, this is a man called William S. Fisher, and he put out one album in 1970 called Circles, and it was this one here, Chains, is from there. He was a piano player who at the time, I think, was working with Yusuf Lateef.
So Floating Points has obviously put a lot of thought into this.
I think, yeah, that guy puts thought into everything. It's probably how he got a doctorate.
Ah, yeah, doctorate, Schmoffer.
In science. Okay, so like I said, this is the most late night of the late night tales. Tell me what you're thinking, Mike.
I'm just like, this has got a little running little movie in my head. This is cool. I don't mean to be scary or sneaky. Perhaps even seductive. Also makes me sort of a little bit sort of anxious and a sort of a did I leave the heater on? Did I? No, I wouldn't have. But I could have. I mean, I have done in the past, yeah. So when's this from 1970, did you say?
Yes. I've only ever heard it on a reissued CD. Never heard it quite sounding like this.
Gave it a nudge, Jay, back in those days.
Oh, yeah.
They really went, hey, what am I thinking? I think I might just do this. Someone suggests it's got a Twin Peaks vibe to it on the text there.
Yeah, not a million miles away.
Yeah, I could say it wouldn't be adverse to a bit of arm bending backwards. Fish in the percolator.
There's a fish in the coffee. Floating Point's cover he does on this record is a Kenny Wheeler tune called The Sweet Time Sweet, and he explains in the liners the reason he does that one, it's from 1990, is the first record his parents bought him was that Kenny Wheeler record.
Well, that's cool.
Now it's getting
amazing,
slinky.
Amazing production though, eh?
Yeah.
A little bit of that, those sort of brushes in the old air and this. You know, there's definitely a great backstory to the song if you could just find out, you know, from William S. Fisher.
Yep. Mr. Fisher is, in fact, still alive.
Only a minute left of the song, I'm interested to see how it concludes. Not sure what sort of event you'd, not sure if you'd put the song with people around.
No,
you might just all sit there looking suspiciously at each other.
I think Late Night Tales is meant to be listened to alone. Well, maybe.
Really?
I don't know, I guess.
I mean, maybe for some this could be the,
Oh, no, don't go there.
Especially with these great, urgent drums.
Yeah, you're wondering what we're doing next, are you?
That's right, I'm just...
I'll tell you
Ladies and gentlemen, William S. Fisher, Chains!
It's from the Late Night Tales Floating Points, the latest edition of Late Night Tales from Nighttime Stories.
The availability on vinyl? Yes. Heavy vinyl.
Now, well, two pieces of heavy vinyl. And it's also available on the popular silver CD format.
Ah, wonderful.
Now, both of the ones we heard so far are available on the shelf tomorrow.
Tomorrow, not today.
Tomorrow.
Worldwide release tomorrow, both of them.
Right, okay.
Now, the next one I brought in...
you haven't shown me or given me any clue as to what it is yet.
Because...
you're really keeping it in that tote bag.
Look at that, it's right in the tote bag, isn't it?
Thing is...
wanting to flash it at all.
I've brought in three versions of it. Okay.
What?
Three today versions. You've bought in three. I don't know, we've got time for that.
We're not going to play from all three. Okay. Don't worry. Here is the new album from. There you go.
Oh, bloody hell. Yeah, no, this is great. This is really good, isn't it?
Isn't it just?
Yeah,
I'm
only just dabbling into this one, and because I've only just heard a few bits of it recently, and I played a track of it.
You did?
I think I played I can't see the name.
Tell us what it is.
Maybe the first one.
Look at you cradling that vinyl as if you're not going to give it back to Troy.
It's like it was born to go under my arm. Look at that. Doesn't it look safer there with me?
Troy's just opened up one.
What's the first or second track on the one, the
Lanigan one? Requiem, when you talk about, yeah.
I've only just poked around this album, but I love the last album as well.
Are you not going to give that back to Troy?
I'm just putting that away so I don't ruin it.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about Uncle, by the way, which is James Lavelle about this album.
Now this
and
is
he was talkative, but he didn't want to give away too much.
It's kind of because did he give away the fact that this is the second of a trilogy?
He hinted at it, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So the Road Part 1 was the last one. This is the Road Part 2 Lost Highway, either as a triple album, a CD, or a triple CD.
This is 180 grams, this one.
It is. 180 grams each.
It's heavy.
Each. My God. So it's half a kilo right there.
I mean, how would you describe the picture of the cover, Tess?
Spooky.
Spooky, yeah.
It's... just
quite medieval,
a figure
isn't it?
with like a sword and in black and white with a hood over the face.
Executioner style, maybe. So Troy, which track?
Well, I figured you could.
You could
make the choice of the ones I'm about to give you, right?
I feel left here.
Okay, so you've had you've played the Mark Lanigan one.
Yeah.
Also featuring on this record, you will find Layla Moss. You will find Brian Cox reading out Stanley Kubrick stuff.
They sort of made this pitch on his voice there in a few bits.
You've got a
Professor Brian Cox.
You've got Mick Jones from The Clash. You've got Chris Goss from Masters of Reality.
Always get him muddled up with the guys from Bros.
Matt Goss. And Luke. Yeah. The big pink on here. Christiana Kubrick's on it. George Harrison's on.
What track is the Chris Goss track? Seven or something like that, maybe.
Let's have a look.
Just bear with us, listeners.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Mm-hmm.
Probably is number. Shit, I don't know. It's hard.
From the crate.
Yep.
What do you reckon, Troy? Come on, we're gonna play. We've got to play something off it.
Just randomly choose a tune.
Would you really?
Yeah, do it.
That's Cavalier. I'm just going to go with this because I seem to remember. That's 9 minutes, so it's 14 seconds. So maybe it's this one I'm thinking of. Maybe it's this one. I'm just randomly choosing a track, yeah?
Yep, do it.
Okay, I've done it. Let's see, here we go. Here we go.
So you think this one is number 7?
No, this is number 9.
Number 9.
What if it sucks?
Oh, then we're in trouble, aren't we? I can't tell what one is what, because, of course...
I've always had a massive soft spot for Uncle. G'day there, friend.
John Theodore's on here. He used to play drums in the Mars Volta.
That'd be enough to drive you crackers. you do that, eh? Play drums for Mars Volta. Just how do you do that? I think this is. I think I remembered this correctly. Go on, your brains.
This is good. Okay, so we said this was part two of The Road. Part two is divided up into three acts, I think. There's a lot to take in.
I appreciate the fact that James LaValle has gone to such trouble to present it in such a manner. There's obviously a method to it, yeah. You know?
A mixtape and a journey, the ultimate road trip. What it says.
Yeah, it's a long drive.
Oh, this is good.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. This warrants further investigation.
Who would have thought? Like, you would think that back in the 90s, when Uncle started with LaValle and DJ Shadow, wasn't it? It almost seemed like it would be a one-off or a two-off. No.
Like, it turns out he's actually musically quite phenomenal.
Yeah.
I've got a documentary about James LaValle at home. It's called The Man from Moax.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Pretty cool. It's pretty cool. He plays down his musical thing quite a bit, isn't it? Which is, like I say, I've always been a big fan.
Here's something that was not in the documentary. Should I tell you?
Yes.
When he was over here once for a big day out,
I remember that.
He spoke to me for about 15 minutes about how interested he was in Vegemite.
It's just a thing.
I was impressed.
Who knows? I mean, looking at this album cover.
Yeah.
Black on black on black on black.
And the special edition doesn't have that hooded man. It has, what is that, a heart?
I can't see that. It's a black heart.
A black heart.
And that's some sort of weird, is that the DVD sort of triple pack?
No, this thing? Triple pack has a album of instrumentals as well.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so there you go.
So all those are available tomorrow.
Tomorrow at Southbound Records. Uncle the Road Part 2.
Before you pack that away so promptly there, buddy.
Okay, let's have a talk
off the air.
All right, let's
get back onto that handcuff story. Thank you, Troy. this is the bit where it tells you where the record shop is.
Yes, it's at 132 Simon Street.
Thank you very much. I'll see you again this time next week.
From the crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street. See?